How many of you love this time of year and this holiday extremely? This is like it. This is the best. How many of that's you? I got a few. The rest of you are like bah humbug, right? You know, I don't know what it is about Christmas that makes it so awesome. What is it? I mean, for the Christian, it holds a special significance in that we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior. It really does. But the rest of the world celebrates this holiday. And it can't be just because people give presents. I mean, that's, to me, that sounds a little bit, I don't know. Yeah. But I as I was thinking about this and I was thinking about why it is that Christmas is just wonderful, I thought, you know, I started thinking back in past Christmases when I was a kid. And honestly, as a kid, I don't really remember probably half or 99% of the presents I ever got. You know, it's because it wasn't about the presents, was it? But there's something that's just, that just fills kids with wonder. And I think part of that is this idea of just what happened with Christ and the magic of that instance, all the glory of the angels and everything else. I think part of that wonder, as we consider what Jesus did for us, I think that brings into it, and I think it adds on top of it when we think about what it means for Christmas as a child and the wonder that brings. Isn't that amazing? I want to kind of key in on that wonder because it, to me, this wonder that we want to portray, that we want to have, should, you know, help us in our search, in our study of who Jesus Christ is. And I brought myself to that passage thinking, I wonder what else is here that maybe I'm overlooking. And so, and if you'll read with me, in Luke chapter 2, maybe we can uncover some things today that don't often get thought about but are crucial to the Christmas story. So, if you're Luke chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says it this way. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first generation when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, in which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. How many of you have read this probably 100 times? How many of you probably have it memorized still from when you were a kid? I remember, should have seen the look on his face. It's like, Yeah, I remember those days. Just an amazing piece to put right in here after God had been silent to the Jews. There's no writings that we can think of before the angel showed up to Zacharias and Elizabeth and foretold the birth of John the Baptist, and then the angel shows up to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to have a child. Wonderful, wonderful time. When we look at this, part of me wonders how much old tradition that we get mixed up in some of our thinking. How many of you like the very traditional, everybody agrees on all the same stuff, right? I was looking at this, and when it says that they went to Judea, it says they were there, and it came time for her to give birth, and she birthed to her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, in your Western American mind, I'm assuming everybody here is Western and American. We might have a Canadian in here somewhere, I don't know. In your Western American mind, do you often think about it this way? Mary and Joseph decided to go somewhere, or had to go somewhere for Christmas, and they were driving all day long, and it was just a really, really, really long trip. And all of a sudden, they pulled into this town, but all the hotels were full. And they had no other place to go but this barn. And that's where Mary had her baby. How many of you think of it sort of that way? Okay, with old-timey thing. That's kind of the way I thought about it. Honestly, maybe you guys are so much more educated than me because that's what it looks like. Now I'm all embarrassed. No. Well, when you read through it, we kind of put our Western spin on things. But here's, I was looking at this and I thought, you know, here's the thing, and I've heard pastors preach this passage, and they see nobody wanted Jesus, nobody wanted Mary, nobody wanted Joseph. And they just kicked them out to the curb, and that's what happened. And that's not what happened at all. You see, Mary and Joseph, yes, she was going to have a baby, and they had traveled to Bethlehem, and they didn't get there that night. Do you see? It says they traveled to Bethlehem, and then came the time for her to have a child. So they were in Bethlehem for maybe a couple of days, maybe a week or so, I don't know. And they were there. And it says there was no room for them in the inn, right? Now, the funny thing about that word inn is it's not a hotel. It's not even a commercial inn. In the ancient Near Eastern society, do you know what you would do when you go on a travel? Where would you stay? You wouldn't necessarily stay in an inn. In a tent? You go stay with people. Yeah. You walk in town and look around and somebody would say, hey, you're new, come stay with me. Can you imagine that? Oh, that's awesome. I love your thoughts there. She's pregnant. No way. No, but think about this. They lived in a very hospitable honor culture. It was an honor for them. And even now still is. In many ways, if you go there, you may not stay in a hostel. You may not stay in a hotel. You may stay in somebody's house. That word for inn is not the technical term for the commercial inn that they did have, but the commercial inns were not places for people that you really wanted to be. They were places that were not well thought of, and they were normally along major routes, major highways. Bethlehem was kind of off the beaten path just a little bit. So what this was people would have a room certain people would have a room on the back of their house that they had reserved for guests. Now, mind you, it probably wasn't what we would think of as a guest room, furnished with a large bed or maybe even a, how many of you had the roll, I mean, grandma had a rollaway bed. My grandma had a rollaway bed. She got out every Christmas, and that was awesome. Okay, you remember those? Uncomfortable as all get out. But they would have these rooms. And you know, especially around Jerusalem, people traveled a lot because, once every year, they had to go back to Jerusalem to worship, right? And even then, now this is a census. So there's another time of the year that these people are traveling. And so it was just common for folks to have a small room there on the back of the inn or back of the house, okay? And so they would have this place, and when there was a lot of people in town, guess what? It's full. So the question is, what happened to Mary and Joseph? Well, they probably had stayed in one of those places, but it being full, when it came time for her to go into labor, they moved her to a different place. We might call this a stable, but it was actually probably just downstairs in the house. You see, the custom was that at night, they would bring their animals in. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Not for us with our dogs and cats and stuff, but for oxen and sheep. Why would you bring a cow into your house? Well, they used to do this all the time. Well, we keep cows in barns and everything, but we don't think of bringing animals like that into the house. Okay, because that's what it was. Yeah. So that was their car. They put it in the garage. Awesome. What they would do is they would bring in their animals, even the ones that they didn't use for packing things around. But they would bring their animals in, so for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you lived in a town, you probably didn't have a lot of square footage outside of your house. Didn't have a big yard where you could go out and play baseball or anything like that. You had your house, and there were, you know, maybe 500 to 1,000 people that lived in Bethlehem at the time. How do you keep all your animals straight? Well, you just bring them inside. Another benefit, when it gets cold outside, guess what animals put off a lot of? Heat. Yeah, in fact, when my wife and I lived in Manning, they had something called a house barn there, a German house barn. And they had brought it over from Germany and rebuilt it in this town. And they showed you where the people lived in this little part, and the rest of it, the animals spent in the barn part. And, you know, they would keep so many animals in there that, you know, they only needed fires to cook with because it was that warm. It's amazing. So, as I was reading and studying through this, I thought, why in the world does it sound like nobody wants them when we read it? Well, because it's our Western American mind thing. There's no room for them. So what had happened, though, is here comes Mary. They don't have room. The guest room where everybody is sleeping is not the place for her to have her child. Basically, the great room in the house where the animals stay, though they would have cleaned it, they would have kept it nice, that's the best place for her. Births were not a private thing in that day. I'm glad we let that one passed on, right? Births were not a private thing. You know, the town ladies would come together, the men would all get together in another place, and the ladies would all get together and help. And so the big room in the house where the animals stayed, that's where Mary had her baby. And the reason they used a manger, it's like a bassinet. Baby's not going to fall out of anything there. The baby's not, that's actually good parenting, right? Good parenting. There's no, they're not traveling with pack and plays or anything else like that. They place the baby there in the manger where the baby is going to be safe. Now, why is it so important? Why should we look at this and think, and be curious, because this is what we're talking about, the curiosity, the wonder of the Christmas story. Why is it so important that when Jesus came, that is the way it happened? He came, that was how it was prophesied, but a little more. Lowly, in a manger, okay, with who? Animals? Well, animals would have been outside, probably. With people. When Jesus came, he came to normal, common, everyday people. Let that sink in just for a minute. His name was prophesied to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. When he came right away to a town where the women would have gotten together, the men would have gotten together in a separate place, where there were people, common, everyday, shepherd, small town type of people. People just like you and me. He didn't come to Jerusalem where the king was. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a town with common, everyday people. He started his life with us. He loves that relationship so much. Think about it. Maybe it is that Christmas time is a little hard for you, because maybe you feel far away from God a little bit. That's not how he came, and that's not what he wants. He came to normal, everyday people to be with them. And what happens next just adds on top of that same theme. It says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So not only did Jesus come to a place where there were just common people, everybody is there, but he goes, the angels, and give the gospel, okay, the good news, to a bunch of people. That's right. Yes. That's great. I love it. People. Shepherds. Now, what kind of a job is a shepherd? Now, we don't have too many shepherds around Minneapolis, do we? What kind of a job is a shepherd job? Is it at the lower end of the wage-earning scale, or is it at the upper end of the wage-earning scale? Probably the lower end, okay? Not a lot of glory in watching sheep, okay? Sleeping overnight, outside, under the stars, with a bunch of smelly animals, okay? Sheep, okay, I'm sorry, I have to tell you this. Sheep are probably one of my least favorite farm animals. I hope I just didn't alienate half of you, but sheep are one of my least favorite animals. I had to show a sheep one time for 4-H because one of my friends said, hey, would you help me show my pen of three? And I was like, okay. And by the end of showing that stupid sheep, I couldn't straighten up. I don't like them. Anyway, sheep are not my favorite animal, but there they are. They're out there watching these sheep. And this is a job. This is This is an ordinary, common type of thing to do. I mean, what do we have as far as ordinary, common jobs? What do people do? Just ordinary. Service industry. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with them being shepherds. Let me say that right away, okay? There's nothing wrong with them being shepherds. And there's nothing wrong with serving people. There's nothing wrong with having a job where you take care of animals. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's the type of people that these shepherds were. And the angels, did they go to the priests? Nope. Why didn't the angels go to Jerusalem? Because there was this great big huge light. No, they went to this. They went to the common people in the small town, and they gave them the gospel, the good news. This is amazing. Jesus, when Jesus came to everyday normal people, just like you and me. There was no royalty there. He was the only royalty. There were no great minds or great thinkers or great theologians, just people. And that an amazing thought. Because God still wants that relationship, just like he came with him. Hey, here's Jesus. That's the type of relationship he's looking for. He's not looking for special people. He's looking for normal, everyday people. And they gave the gospel to these shepherds. So the one angel shows up, and I used to think that it was all of a sudden when they were lying there, and maybe it's because I read through the passage too quickly. They're just lying there on their back, listen to the sheep bleat, and all of a sudden, boom, there's this light and all these angels, right? Well, it started with one angel, and that angel, he said, hey, this is what happens. He gives them the gospel. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Your Savior is born. What is it that people need saved from? Sin. Good job. All right, I like you. People need saved from sin. You know, in Genesis 3, Jesus, or God, told us that he would send somebody else to take care of Adam's transgression. And here he is. That's the gospel. He's shown up. It's good news. I can't imagine what it was like. Boom, here's an angel shows up and starts talking to you. And then when he's done talking to you, then it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heaven host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So all of a sudden, here they are. There's an angel shows up. Freaks them out, I'm sure. And then, after they listen to the gospel from the angel, boom, then there's a multitude, a whole host of angels. Lights, praise. Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear the angel choruses saying or singing this? But you know, the shepherds didn't stop there, did they? And see, this is another part you kind of skip over. It's just like, oh, the shepherds, and they went to see Jesus, and that was it, right? Let's read what happens. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go back to sleep. Oh, wait, sorry. That wasn't it, was it? No. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So there's this angels and everything, and these guys are excited. I can't imagine what kind of excitement there would be after seeing a whole bunch of angels in the sky. That'd be crazy. And so they leave their sheep right there, because you can go back and find sheep. They'll still be in a group in the next day. And they took off. And it says they went with haste, right? They didn't organize anything. They just said, let's go. And they ran. And they ran to Bethlehem in a small town, maybe 500 to 1,000 people, who knows? It's a small town. And they went and they found Jesus. And they found Mary and Joseph. And he was there lying in a manger. And there were all kinds of people around. And they were praising God the whole way. And they told everybody, this is what happened. This is who this baby is. And so now, God has used what kind of people? Just knocked off my microphone. What kind of people did God use to entrust with this message? Just normal, everyday people like you and like me. God entrusted with this gospel, this good news. That people, they were not quiet about this. Absolutely amazing. They went and they saw the child, and they went out telling people. That news left the shepherds curious. And they had to go find out, is this real? Is this true? And when they found it, just like the angels told them, they praised God. They glorified God. So I learned some things as I studied for this. Number one, don't read through the scriptures too quickly. Think as you go through the scriptures. Because sometimes, you know, and we can read the scriptures for years and years and years and years and then finally see something that we just passed over, we glossed over. It happens to me all the time. Read through the scriptures deliberately, thinking through it, wondering through it, being curious. And when we find the truth, like the shepherds, I think we should be excited about it. When you uncover or recognize some truth that God gives. For example, I love how the scriptures here use common people in this story. I mean, Luke, when Luke tells it, Luke is telling it to this man. He's giving this narrative to this man, eyewitnesses. He's just giving this guy the eyewitness account. And he's talking about all the things that happened. And he says, you know what? Jesus came to Bethlehem. And the angels told shepherds about this miraculous thing that happened. When we find truth, number one, we need to remember. But number two, we should let that truth be known. Through praise and worship, but also let it come out in our daily lives. The shepherds did not keep it quiet. I mean, it's almost like a bunch of rowdy boys coming in for dinner. I imagine that's what it was just like. They were running. Whew. And when they got to where Jesus was, they were probably like, oh, wow, this is amazing. There was an excitement there. Just for that, Jesus came. We should let people know about what Jesus did for you and for me. Just common folk. That is what I love about the wonder at Christmas. God said, verse 14, and I'll close with this thought. When the angels praised God, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, for all that you've given us, for all the wonder and excitement that we can have at this time of year to remember you and your gift. God, I pray that as we consider this truth, that you came to be with us, that you came for that relationship, that you came so that all people could know you. I pray that you would make that truth real in our lives. Help us to understand it. Help us to articulate it. Help us to spread it, to speak it. Lord, especially as we meet with family and friends, that you would help us to have that joy that's contagious from your Spirit. Help us to be thinking about what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.